wonder when they say Les Green's going to do this and nobody shows up. But anyway, thank you for showing up. We're going to have a very informal time. This time it will not be strictly a lecture. I want you all to have some feedback, some questions, get involved, and see if we can't relate, interact, and find out what's going on in missions today and how would it fit your circumstances. I believe we're all interested in missions, and so I think this is a good idea to cover some of these points, and you can ask us questions afterward. We'll have several here. My son-in-law Mark Plaz is over here, and his wife Faye is over there with the two twins. They're going with us too on the mission field, so they're going out missionaries, and they will have the same frustrations you will have. And feel free later on to ask them questions that might pertain to your situation. My wife should be along shortly, and I'm here too, so any kind of questions you have, somebody should be able to answer it. Then we have Benna here. She's an MK from Columbia, Benna Lehman, and we can go on and on. So Larry there, he's working full-time for the Lord now, too, here in the home country. So sky is unlimited. If you have questions, we'll try to see if we can't field them for you. Just before we get started, why don't we bow for just a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You we can gather together in this way, in the trees, and enjoy the beauty that You have created for each one of us. And yet, Lord, there are so many in the world right around us that don't know of Your beauty and don't even think of You, and we have this on our hearts now to be able to go out and tell others about You. So I pray that You'll be with us at this time as we look into Your Word for a couple minutes, and then as we talk on missions, that You will lead and guide and direct us, and that we might learn something. We're here to learn, Lord, and so guide each one of us, we pray. In all things, Your name be honored and glorified. In Your name we pray. Amen. So just before we start, I like last night, I heard some of it. I was up in the hostess room there picking up our people that were staying in our home. Anyone here that stayed in our house last night in the apartment? Let's see. Any voice? Oh, there's one, two. Anybody else? Oh, we got two. All the rest want to get rid of us. Okay. Anyway. And last night, Mr. Lehman ended up by, how do I influence my spiritual children? How do I influence my spiritual children? Well, you can be a missionary and do that right here at home. It's great, isn't it? Who was the first missionary that we read of in the New Testament? Maybe I should qualify that. The New Testament. Who would you think would be the first missionary that you can think of? Yes?
John.
Who else?
Andrew,
right on. I would suggest that maybe Andrew was the first missionary that we read of. There could be others, and it's not written down. But the ones we read of is Andrew. You remember Andrew went out, and he was with John the Baptist. They were disciples of his, I assume, I believe. And all of a sudden, our Lord came along, and John is turning and is pointing to our Lord, "Behold the Lamb of God." And that struck Andrew right between the eyes. You know, Andrew ran away. What did Andrew do? What did Andrew do? He went to find his brother. You know who his brother is, or was? Sure, Peter. Simon Peter. He ran off to find Simon Peter. Now, we're not all going to be a Simon Peter. He is in Scripture all over the place. But some of us could be just an Andrew. Going off and finding his brother and bringing his brother back to our Lord. He not only did that, remember when they were feeding that multitude of 5,000 people, and they were hungry. We were hungry today and we got fed and it seemed like we were 5,000 there, but we're not really 5,000. And our Lord turns and sees all these people, and the disciples wanted all these folks to go away and go home. And our Lord had love for these folks. I think that might be a first step in our missionary dissertation, is to have love for one another. And our Lord had love for these people. No, don't send them away. Let's give them some food. What do you have? And who speaks up? Andrew. Andrew speaks up. Now, he's not a prominent man. He probably didn't have a lot of wealth. Oh, there's a little boy running around here. I saw a little boy running around. He had 5 pieces of bread and 2 little fishes. You know the story. They went and got him, and he multiplied all that. Our Lord multiplied all that, and it fed all the 5,000. And that was Andrew, our first missionary, in a quiet way. We'll never have big names across this great United States or the world. Les Green's name will never go very far. Andrew's name never went very far. It's in Scripture. Praise the Lord for the Andrews. What else did he do? He not only worked right at home, he not only helped the boys and girls, the men and the women there on the hillside, he helped foreigners. And we as missionaries can help foreigners as well. Oh, the Greeks were having a little problem. They wanted to see our Lord, and they came. And Andrew's one of them that pointed these Greeks, these foreigners to our Lord in John chapter 12. So maybe today we can have some Andrews here. Maybe we can relate to him in one or two of the areas in which he was with us. He was right at home. I often think of the story of the fellow there that was not very clean. He had a disability. He was out in the tombs. He was out in the graveyard. How many have ever slept in a graveyard? You have you? Well, none of us really, I don't think, have slept in a graveyard. Maybe someday we'll all be put to sleep in a graveyard. We don't know. But to sleep with your eyes, as they would say in Africa, in a graveyard. This fellow did that. That's his home. And our Lord came along and healed him of his disease that he had. And this fellow was great. He had a real good idea, a real good approach. He wanted to follow our Lord. Our Lord and the disciples went down to the ship to go across the lake there, and they were sort of shoved out of their coast. And this fellow came along. You know what the fellow said? I want to follow you, Jesus. Wherever you go, I want to go with you. Maybe that could be our prayer today, to follow our Lord. You ever thought about that? And wherever he might lead you, might be right here at home. What did he tell this fellow? No, fellow, don't get into the boat. You stay right there. In fact, you go home to your village where you haven't been living for quite a while. And you tell those people what the Lord has done for you. So maybe we'll go home and stay in our own little community, in our own city, and tell about what God has done for each one of us. I don't know. Maybe we can be like that man. Or maybe we can be like another missionary that went down to a place he'd never been before, I don't believe. Here he was seeing all kinds of blessings. Now, preachers, I know we got some preachers here. Isn't it great to see blessing and to see people turn out and see souls saved and see young people coming together? It's wonderful and it's really good. And Philip is preaching in Samaria and he's seeing real results. And he should have maybe stayed there, but he didn't stay there. Oh, maybe he went to Jerusalem. Anyway, even if he did go to Jerusalem, the Lord said to Philip, Philip, get up now. All this success that you're having, we understand it, but go. Go south. Go south to a desert place. Well, you know, we don't all like to go to the places where people aren't. When we fly to Africa, we usually fly over the desert there of North Africa. And you look down and if it's still daylight, you can see some tracks. You see nothing but sand, nothing down there. And then you'll come to an oasis place and a little bit of trees, and that's where the road sort of leads to. And Philip was told to go to the desert. He went down there, and what did he do? He met a foreigner. He met a foreigner as well, an Ethiopian from North Africa. And the point is, the Lord told him to do something, and he followed. And we as missionaries right here at home, if the Lord tells us to do something, we should do it. Whether it be staying here at home or going to the foreign field. Being able to follow what the Lord has in store for us. You know, there are a couple of types of missionaries, and I said we're not going to be there. We're only here half an hour. There are two types of missionaries that I can see in this day and age. When my mother and dad went out as missionaries, there was only one kind. And that was a lifetime missionary. If you went on the mission field in the foreign field, you were there for the rest of your life. Because if you came home and stayed home now, you were a failure. You're sort of looked down upon. But in this day and age, things have changed. And I feel we have two types of missionaries. Number one, that long, lifelong missionary approach, I think, has had its day. However, there's the short-term missionary and the long-term missionary. We want to categorize it and qualify it that way. The long-term missionary is the one that goes out for several years and stays on the foreign field and does the work the Lord has for him and maybe comes home and stays, or maybe goes back again, but he's been out there for a number of years. This is well and good. We went out three times, I believe it was, three terms. And we came home and we stayed home. That was it. We had done enough of the mission field. The Lord called us to stay here. Our kids were in high school. And we stayed in this country for 3 years. And then the Lord called us back again. We weren't a couple that came home defeated. The Lord led us home, and then the Lord led us back again. And so there's a long-time missionary. You might qualify for that type of service. You might take further education. You might get medical training, educational training, mechanical training, technical training, languages, and serve the Lord on the mission field. And then we have the short-term type missionary. And I like that. I think that is tremendous. An opportunity for young people like yourself to come on out and visit us and be with us. We talked to a number of you about coming out in the summertime, sharing maybe a month or 2 or 3 months with us, 6 weeks, doing whatever you can do for the Lord on the mission field. It opens your eyes. All these missionaries, they come home with big, long snake skins and leopard's claws, and is it really like that? Yes and no. We have the animals and the wild things in the forest, but it's not like that. You don't beat the snake the way to walk down the path. Come on out and see what things are all about. I think that's tremendous. Yes, it costs some money. It costs a little bit. But the Lord's service, it's worth giving what you have for Him, isn't it? It costs a little bit to get out. I would say maybe $1,200 now. We're talking about Zaire in Africa. That's where we're working. To go one way, $1,200. To come back again, $1,200. So it costs something. It might take you some summers to save up. But short-term work is tremendous. You're able to get out there and help out where there's a real need. You're able to help out maybe some of the missionaries there need a change. You can fill in for them. Maybe some are sick. Maybe some of them have to come home for an emergency of some kind in their family lives. And so you can be of a real help as a short-time missionary. We have a number of them here, as I mentioned today. Now, and I don't know if you have some questions on this. We want to get in and start talking, kicking it around. And feel free to direct the questions to Mark here, his wife Faye over there, and my wife Peg sitting in the back there now, and ourselves. And let's see what we can learn. How do you go about being a missionary? How do you go about being a short-term missionary? What are some of your questions? Does anyone have any questions? We have about 15 minutes. We're half gone now. I don't know. What have I not covered, Mark? Yes. To be a short-term missionary, how would you approach your assembly over that type of an idea? Very good question, and a very important question. First of all, you should approach your assembly, the elders of the assembly. This is vital. In our circles, this is vital. We find it in Scripture, where those that went out and left had the warm hand of fellowship by those that stayed behind. And this is very vital. Pray about it. I would say, number one, pray about your situation of your desire to serve the Lord on the mission field. Number two, I would say, first off, correspond with those on the mission field in what area you have in mind, whether it's Zaire or South America with the laymans or whoever it might be. Correspond with these folks. And then pray about it some more. And if you find that the Lord is just really needling you to get moving, then I would say, call your elders together. Speak to one or two of them. They'll call you. And put your burden that you have in your heart before them. Holding nothing back. And they will deal with you accordingly. They will pray with you and pray for you, and they'll pray about it. And they might sidetrack you for 3 months or 6 months, and then call you back again, and so on and so forth. And the Lord will lead in their lives, and you'll be kept on leading. But yes, call your men and share your burden with them if you're absolutely sure. And then move from there. So vital number one, I would think, is to correspond with those on the field, and number two, your elders and your local assembly. That was a long answer to that question. Yes. Right, what would an average day on the mission field be in my situation? In the past years, I've always gone out with the idea of building, construction, maintenance work, fixing anything that needs to be fixed. You don't go down and get the parts in the stores like you do here at home, or you don't call up John Jones as a mechanic. You get into it, and if you're mechanically inclined, you really work at it. And a typical day in my life on the mission field would be, we'd get up, of course, we'd get up at 6 o'clock, that's when it's daylight. We're almost on the equator, and it's dark at 6, and it's daylight at 6. And we'd get up and get around and have little devotions and so on, and then, first off, let's get a crew of workmen set to do the work they're going to do that day. We always have workmen on the place, cleaning around, building buildings, whatever there might be, cleaning the airstrip, getting the rocks out, cutting trees down, getting the crew gone. That's usually around 7 o'clock. And then quite often we go with them. You know, the best way to get work out of these fellows is be right along with them. Maybe not doing all the work. After all, I'm getting a little older now, but be with them and share with them. You get to know them. You learn their confidence. You learn to know them and love them, and they love you, and that is the way that I feel that I can really witness to them. And so quite often we go with them. Come back at noontime for lunch. My wife always has super lunch when you come to visit us, baked goods. Never a meal without dessert. Tremendous. I'll tell you, it's really great. Monkey meat galore. Not really. Have you had monkey meat? Monkey meat's not too bad. The only problem is you jump around for 3 days afterwards. Monkey burger. Yes, and then in the afternoon again, get the workmen back to work. Generally in our place, they do not have a lunch hour. They start at 7 and quit at 3. We found that if you give them a lunch hour, they're not normally inclined to eat in the middle of the day anyway. And secondly, when they leave the job, it's hard to get them back to the job and get them busy again. So a lot of them work straight through until 3 o'clock. Then after 3 o'clock, work is done. Then I can go home. And then I can sit down and do some correspondence to you folks that have written to us. Perhaps do some Bible study for the Thursday night Bible study that's coming up. We've had a lot to do with the elders when we were out there this past term, and working with the elders has been a real challenge. It's been frustrating, but it's been a help. I've learned an awful lot. And then in the evening, of course, supper in the evening, we turn on our little power plant at 6 o'clock dark until about 8 or 8:30, and then turn it off, and that's when we go to bed, 8 or 8:30 at night. No late night new movie or show or what have you. We don't have any TVs. No telephones. You can't call up your girlfriends or your guys. You know, that just doesn't work. So you do sacrifice a little bit. And we have shortwave radio to keep in with the news. I don't know. Does that answer your question? That's sort of what I do. Now, this term going back, we shared it with Mark and different ones. We will be working and building as well, but we're also going to get out into the villages and do village work. There are assemblies around us. They need some help. And our appearance, our visiting them, is an uplift. Anyone that comes to visit is tremendous in our place, and we like it when we go out to visit these folks. Working with the pygmies are in the forest there as well. And so we're going to be dividing our time from being tied down, quote, to the station, to getting out into the bush area. We'll do a lot more of that. Yes? Is there any call for specific trades? There's always need for somebody that is specialized in any kind of a trade. If you're a carpenter, our fellows that do carpentry work need some help. They have hand tools, hand planes. We're taking back some little power equipment that a fellow in Connecticut gave us. But they could use some skills in carpentry work, for an example. Mechanical work. We don't have all the answers in mechanical work, and I'm sure these new cars today really take some brains. And the new pickups. We have a diesel Chevy four-wheel drive pickup, double cab. And it